Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Okay, that's a little bit better. We're warming up. We'll do it many more times. You see, that's one of the most important phrases we have as Catholics, as Christians. It's also one of the most ancient responses we have marking us as Christians. Actually, since nearly the beginning of Christianity, Christians have greeted one another in this way. They said to one another, "Christ is risen." He is risen indeed. You can say it louder than that, Andre. I know you can. Many places throughout the world don't have the freedoms which we have here in the United States. And so we can take the fact that we can even have a mass here so late in the day for granted. Like, for example, in places in the Middle East, including this very week, in Egypt, they canceled most of the Easter services because many bombings, including even the patriarch there of the Coptic Church, was attacked. And so today, we must be very close to them who were there. 44, I believe it was, who were killed just a week ago today at a church bombing. When we say Christ is risen, when we say that He is truly risen, it should mean something to us. For example, like when in communist Russia, or the Soviet Union as it was called at that time, they didn't have the sort of religious freedom and they were seeking actively to destroy the faith. And so what the communists decided to do is that they would argue against religion to be able to talk about the need for the communism to be fully achieved, which means a religion has to be kicked out. It was Karl Marx who said that religion is the opiate of the masses, meaning that religion is just something people get a fix with in order to make it through the day, but it means nothing in the end and is actually harmful. So what they decided to do was to have a great debate on the greatest public stage there. And they asked one of the Orthodox bishops, the Orthodox Church is the main church there in Russia, to have him do a great debate with their greatest communist apologist. And when all things were set, the Orthodox bishop yielded to the member of the state of the Communist Party to let him go first. And what he did was, in a very passionate and fervent way, he delivered a long discourse explaining that God didn't exist, poking holes in the Christian account of the resurrection and of the Christian faith, began to explain how God could not have a son, and he definitely wouldn't have been Jesus. And then he began extolling the virtues of communism and how its focus was on this life because there is nothing after this life, so that it would do more for the everyday man. After he finished that discourse, the Orthodox bishop bowed to him respectfully and then headed to the podium to take his place. Everybody wondering how it was that this Christian man would be able to respond to all these accounts which were leveled against him. What he simply did was he said this: "Christ is risen." And they all responded, "He is truly risen." And at that moment, the bishop said thank you and took his seat. There was nothing more to be said. Your very example today shows why that was such an effective way. Christ is risen. And you, brothers and sisters, oh, you missed one. Because He is risen. Oh, this is great. Because He's risen, we're able to receive the great graces that we have, to be able to speak forth from who we are, to say that death doesn't have the end of the story. Nothing more needs to be said. other than that Jesus Christ is risen.
Alleluia.
That Jesus is risen indeed.
Alleluia.
Man, it doesn't get old. All the rest of our lives, we can say this. Because today, that is what we contemplate. We contemplate this, the basic mystery of our faith, which is so simple, yet extraordinary and beyond our comprehension and powerful enough to wake up masses to not lose faith in Christ. It was mind-blowing at the time when it was delivered such that even the disciples themselves, the apostles, who even Jesus told it was going to happen, didn't believe it until they saw it with their very eyes. And even Thomas doubted it after that time. It shattered their whole belief, their whole mindset that death comes immediately after life. That was their greatest fear, something that could never be defeated. We know that there are only two things which are certain in life, which are death and taxes. Taxes was what we paid yesterday or what you're going to do paying tomorrow. But death still remains. And so Jesus conquered the second of those things. He conquered death. Death, and he put death to death. When he says Christ is risen, it says it all, because the reality is that Jesus has victory. In today's first reading, what we had there that Milo read so well for us is that Christ is risen, but even those who were his disciples didn't believe in him at first. What he reminds us is that everyone who believes in him will receive forgiveness of their sins through his name, through the name of Jesus. And on that day of our baptism, what happens is that we encounter the risen Lord. Daisy, you're getting ready to experience that, to experience the power of the risen Lord in your life. And what he will do for you, as he did for each and every one of us on the day of our baptism, was that he will transform you to be his beloved daughter. He will transform each of you men to be his beloved son forever. And the favor of God will rest upon you, not just because you're good, but because you're his. That's what the resurrection does. Jesus will continue to reveal himself to those who put their faith in him. And so a faith-filled encounter with the risen Lord always brings about salvation. It transforms those who believe. But faith wasn't that first response of the disciples. The gospel, we see it clearly. Because they didn't believe it until they saw it with their very eyes. Until they witnessed it themselves. They knew because Jesus said it many, many times throughout the gospels, reminding them that he was first to die, but then 3 days later he was going to be raised up. They knew it. But they didn't internalize that belief. Martha and Mary, remember, we read about them. They saw even that their brother Lazarus was raised from the dead. But they didn't believe that Jesus himself would rise from the dead. The mourners of that little girl who died, Jesus told them, hey, look, don't worry, she's just sleeping. And everybody mocked him because of it. And yet, right after that, he woke her up. Even Mary Magdalene, the one who is always pictured there at the foot of the cross with the Blessed Virgin Mary and St. John, even she lost hope at that time. And it wasn't until Christ appeared to her and she reached out to embrace him that she was able to believe. The disciples on the road to Emmaus, which we'll read later on today in the afternoon, didn't believe it until Jesus explained to them the entirety of scriptures on the way and then celebrated the Eucharist in their presence. All the disciples were dumbfounded by the resurrection, but we can't blame them. Because even today, there are a lot of disciples who are clueless. All the facts are laid out in faith, but yet they live out their lives as though it didn't happen, thinking that the resurrection is just a fairy tale, something that we keep in the hope, but we don't internalize it. Which is why so often we weep bitterly when somebody passes, when our father passes or mother, when our sister or brother or a dear friend or a spouse, we lose that hope, thinking that the resurrection is just a fairy tale. But it's not, it is real. You see, we have even more signs than the disciples did to point to it. We have a 2,000-year history of the martyrs, of the saints who gave their lives for him until now. Like in John's gospel, what we have to do is take a look and to re-examine those signs of the resurrection, to see, yes, there is an empty tomb. Jesus isn't there. No body lies within. Those well-folded head wrappings, and we can simply believe in Christ. We can even look at the example of the Old Testament. In the second book of Maccabees, which we read always at the very end of the year, right before we enter into Advent, in 2 Maccabees chapter 7, verse 9, what's going on there is that a woman has seven sons, and each one of them are about to be tortured to death before her. And each one of them says this. They say, "The King of the universe will raise us up to an everlasting renewal of life because we have died for his laws." In verse 11, it says, "I got these, my hands, from heaven, and because of his laws, I disdain them. And from him, I can hope to gain them back again." And in verse 14, it says, "One cannot but choose to die at the hands of men and cherish the hope that God gives of being, that God gives and will be raised again by him." Like these men and like all the Christian martyrs who gave witness to the resurrection, it wasn't a fairy tale for them. They went willingly to their death, even in their youth. Their faith in Christ gave them hope for eternal life and gave them the strength that they needed to give the greatest testimony for the love of God. And they did it all with a look of joy on their faces. We see that even in the first Christian martyr, St. Stephen. St. Stephen was there as they were beginning to stone him in chapter 7 of verse Acts. And this is what it says about him. It says, "But Stephen, with the face of an angel, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, 'Look, I see the heavens open up and the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, standing at the right hand of God.'" And he said, just like Jesus did on Good Friday, "Lord Jesus, into your hands I commend my spirit." And God received him. You see, if Christ hadn't been risen from the dead, then all these deaths would have been in vain. If Christ isn't risen from the dead, then we would be the most pitiable of all people. The risen Lord, what he wants to do is he wants to liberate us from the pessimism of fear, to set us free this Easter. Each one of us may not be called to martyrdom like these saints who are that we talked about here, or like any of the early apostles, all of which who died a martyrdom. But he will call us to give testimony to him with our lives. And he has us to do that with joy. Joy is the sign of a Christian. Joy is the sign of one who has been loved. And when we experience the power of the resurrection, joy transforms our lives. Our confirmation students will tell you all about it. But there are 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit. You remember what the first one is? Love. And what's the second one? Joy. Love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the fruits of the Spirit. It's love first, because once we know that we're loved by God, then we are full with joy, knowing that nothing can destroy us, nothing can come against us. And so today, brothers and sisters, if you don't know that joy, then the reason why is because you don't know that you're loved by God. The Easter message is this: that God raised up his only Son out of his own love. And he wishes to share that love and to show that love for us. Not just in the fact that Jesus died on the cross, but that God the Father raised up his Son. And so too he will raise us up. So if we find ourselves locked within pessimism and fear, if we find ourselves that we've lost hope and despair because of the difficulties that come in our lives, we need to remember Christ died for love of us. God raised up Christ, and he wishes to do the same for us. When we come to know and to experience that love, then we can't but spend the rest of our lives living out that same joy. Joy is in the resurrection. Joy is being heir to Easter, to the Easter mission. Joy is being able to look toward God and say, "Lord, Jesus Christ is risen today. He is truly risen. And I wish to receive that grace today." So if you find yourself unable to receive that today, this is all I ask of you. And this is the Easter challenge: to turn to God. To turn back to him and say in prayer, I am having great difficulty right now. I don't know where it is that you're calling me, Lord, and I can't see how anything is adding up in my life. Just give me hope today. Give me a trust in the resurrection and that your will for me is to experience that same resurrection. That just as you did not leave your son hanging upon the cross, Lord God, does that mean that you won't leave me hanging upon the cross in my life? If you raised up Jesus from the dead, even if this sorrow claims my life, help me to have trust that you will raise me up. And in that moment, you can be like the Christian martyrs. Brothers and sisters, Easter is happening. And if we allow Christ to let his resurrection take place in us, then we can cry out with all the Christian martyrs that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Say it once again. The Lord is risen. He is truly risen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.